Well, today we continue this series that we've been in called Half Truths, where we've been looking at these statements. You could even call them Christian cliches. And we've been looking at these sayings and examining whether or not they're fully true. These are sayings like last week we took up everything happens for a reason. I hope you're here last week. If you weren't, I hope you'll go listen online. But these are the phrases that sound true. They sound religious. It sounds like they're the whole truth. But when you hear them and then you reflect a little more deeply on them, you start to wonder, is this really fully true? Or is it at best only half true? And these are phrases that are so common. You hear them so much. A lot of people think they come straight from the Bible. They don't, by the way. So that's what we're learning this during the series, is they don't come from the Bible, but sometimes they do have a connection to something that we find in Scripture. And that's true for the statement we'll take up today. The statement is, God won't give you more than you can handle. Anybody ever heard that one before? God won't give you more than you can handle. Now, last week when we started our discussion of everything happens for a reason, I shared with you some memes from the internet, and I thought I'd try that again this morning. But when I went to search for memes on this topic, I found this cartoon instead. So I want to share this cartoon with you. It says, "Before I tell you what happened, Mom, remember the Lord will never give you more than you can handle." If I had been that clever when I was little, it might have helped me out a couple times, but God won't give you more than you can handle. Now, again, most people believe this idea comes from Scripture, and it is connected, maybe. It's derived from a passage. Actually, it's just really just one verse. I want to share that one verse with you. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. Here's what the Apostle Paul says, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." You see how that maybe sounds a little bit similar to God won't give you more than you can handle? Because Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you. God is faithful and won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear or what you can handle. But God will provide a way of escape. So there is some similarity. But my question to you is it exactly the same thing? Is it the same thing to say God won't give you more than you can handle? Is that the same thing as Paul is saying, that no temptation has overtaken you but such that is common to all humankind, and God is faithful and won't allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able to bear, but with that temptation provide a way? Is that the same thing? I want us to think about that this morning. Now, if you were reading along in your Bibles or the pew Bibles, you might have noticed that verse, 1 Corinthians 10:13, in some translations it says, instead of no temptation, it says no testing has overtaken you, but is common to all people. Now, you need to know that Greek word is this. It can be translated either way. Both of them are accurate. No temptation, no testing. But testing makes it sound more like God won't give you more than you can handle. But the thrust behind testing or temptation, the sense of it is this. It's like what happens if you put a double fudge cake in front of me. I will be tested. I will be tempted in that kind of way. But you tell me, when most people say God won't give you more than you can handle, are they usually talking about some temptation that you're facing? Or are they usually talking about some horrible thing that's happened, some tragedy, some grief, some suffering? It's been my experience that usually people say God won't give you more than you can handle when somebody's going through a hard time. Not when they're being tempted, but when they have a heavy load to bear. Something like you get a terrible report from the doctor. Well, don't worry. God won't give you more than you can handle. Or your marriage is coming apart at the seams. Well, God won't give you more than you can handle. Or a loved one dies unexpectedly and you're completely shocked. Your world gets rocked. Well, God won't give you more than you can handle. I think the first problem with that statement is that it assumes that God is the one who is giving it. That whatever tragedy, whatever suffering or grief is happening, that God is the one who has caused it. But don't worry, because, you know, it won't be more than you can handle. We talked about this a little bit last week with everything happens for a reason. When you say God won't give you more than you can handle, you are implying that God is the one, God is the agent, that whatever is happening, whatever tragedy, it's happened because God has willed it, that God wanted it, and you just need to hold on. If you missed last week, I really do hope you'll go on and listen to how we talked about that. There are some Christians who believe that everything that happens in this world happens because God wanted it to. That we're just living out a script that God has already written. But I just don't believe that. I believe that sometimes bad things happen because God has given us this gift of free will, and sometimes we misuse that gift and we make decisions that have consequences, and sometimes those consequences are bad. I also believe that we live in this world that is fallen and broken, and sometimes bad stuff just happens. It's not because God caused it, but it is true that God will go to work on it and begin to bring good out of it. But when you tell somebody, well, don't worry, God will give you more than you can handle, won't give you more than you can handle, what you're telling them is that God's the one who caused this. God's the one who's doing this. God is the one who gives this to you. God has given you this, but don't worry, God will make sure that it's not too much for you to bear. Now, would you be comforted by that? I don't think I'd be comforted by that. And partly because I just don't believe that's true. The second problem with this saying, this phrase, this Christian cliche that God won't give you more than you can handle is that even if you were to grant that God's the one who's giving this, whatever this bad thing is, is it comforting to think, now, God will pile some bad stuff on you, but God won't take it too far. God will pile something. God will take you right up to the edge of what you're able to handle, but God won't go over. So just don't worry about it. God will give you some stuff, but not too much. It won't be enough to crush you. It won't be enough to shatter your faith. It won't be enough to... Would that be comforting to you? My question would be, why would a God who loves us even test the limits? I don't get that. And so there's some big problems with this statement that God won't give us more than we can handle. First, is God really the one who gives us these horrible things? My answer to that would be no. Second, is God in the business of loading us up, just not too much? My answer to that would be no. But the last thing that really bugs me about this half-truth, that God won't give you more than you can handle, is that you can handle part. God won't give you more than you can handle. And the thought behind that is whether or not God caused it or whether God just allows it, the implication in that statement is that God won't let me face anything in life that I can't handle on my own, in my own strength. And that just, neither does that seem exactly right to me. It's worth noting that the same person who wrote this, 1 Corinthians 10:13, the Apostle Paul, he later writes something else, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's what Paul writes. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. I just want to stop there for just a second. Let that sink in. Paul is saying that he was in a situation that was far beyond his ability to handle. It was more than he could bear. So much so that he said they despaired of life. In other words, he wanted to die because this whatever he experienced in Asia was so bad, so beyond his ability to handle, so beyond his limits that he would rather have just died. But then he goes on, verse 9, "Indeed, we felt we had already received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." And Paul's saying, now we faced some really bad stuff in Asia. It was way beyond our ability to handle. It was beyond our own power. But in the process, we learned that no matter what, we can trust God. God's going to be with us. We can trust God. God is going to hold us. And we never would have realized that if it hadn't been that we were in a situation where we were pushed beyond our human limits. Do you know anybody who struggles with addiction? I bet you do. In fact, there's some folks in this room who probably suffer from addiction. If you ever have a candid conversation with somebody who struggles with addiction, what they will tell you is that they can't beat it. It's not in their capacity. They don't have the strength. They don't have the willpower. You call it an addiction because it is beyond your strength. They can't handle it. In fact, do you know what the very first step in every 12-step program is? You have to admit that you're powerless over the addiction. You're powerless. It's beyond your power. And so that first step leads to subsequent steps where you recognize and you trust a higher power, God, and you move to this understanding that it is only by God's grace and God's power that you can ever experience recovery, because it can't be from your own power. It has to be from God, because you can't handle it. You can't handle it. But thankfully, thankfully, God can. This week I was talking with one of our members, and we were talking about this, and God won't give you more than you can handle. And something in the conversation made me think back to something that happened at a Sockahatchee camp 12 or more years ago. I was at Sockahatchee, and we were working on this woman's house, and my little task in the bigger project was that this woman's bedroom floors were rotten. And we were going to rip out the floors and put new floors down so she didn't fall through. So, but before we got to work on the floors, we had to first take all the furniture out of the bedroom. Now, living with this woman in her house was her great-grandson, who was 4 years old. And the whole time we were there, he desperately wanted to help. "Can I help do this? Can I help do this?" So finally, I said, "All right, well, you can help us move this dresser." We had to move a dresser out, and so my friend got on one end and I got on the other, and this little guy, 4 years old, gets on one corner of this dresser. And I said to him, "Now, we're going to count to three, and we're going to lift this dresser, we're going to take it out to the other room." So he got on in his spot, and he got ready, and I said, "All right, now, one, two." He started early. And he started pushing and grunting and straining, and the dresser didn't budge. But man, he was working hard at it. And so I hit three and I lifted up that end of the dresser, and boy, he thought he was doing something then. And we started shuffling out the door and we carried it to the other room. And now, if I had let go of my end of that dresser, it would have crushed that little boy. He thought he was doing something though. I'm just thinking that maybe there are times in our lives when our burdens are way more than we can bear. And we might strain and groan under the weight, but it's more than we can handle. But whether we realize it or not, God carries us. In fact, if we really knew how little of the weight we were actually bearing, then, well, I have this friend in Indiana. Actually, you've met her before. Her name is Elise Barrett, and she's preached here for us at Advent before. And I wish she were here today, Or I wish we'd had time to go up to Indiana and sit down with her so she could share her testimony on video for you, because I'm going to try to tell her story, but I won't do it justice. But I'm going to try to summarize it. And this really is a summary. If I told you every detail of the last few years for Elise, you wouldn't really believe it. Back in 2002, Elise married one of my best friends, Chris. And in the years after that, they started trying to have children, and they had several miscarriages that were heartbreaking. In fact, she shared that with you when she was here a couple years ago. Eventually, though, they were able to have children. You see these three beautiful children that they have. And when she was pregnant with their third child, Erickson, Elise had to go on bed rest. They were afraid that he was going to be delivered too early, premature. And so she went on bed rest. And while she was on bed rest, her father in Indiana died from amyloidosis. And she desperately wanted to go to the funeral. The doctor said, no way, that's way too dangerous. You can't do that. And so she didn't. She ended up delivering early, and Erickson was premature. And he had this infection that made him stay in the hospital for quite some time, and they were really worried. We were really worried about him. But he finally got to go home, and they got to welcome him into their home. And then a couple months later, he had to go back in the hospital because he came down with viral meningitis and RSV. And it didn't look good. There were times where we weren't sure he was going to make it. But he did. And then when he was a little over a year old, in April of 2012, his father, my friend, was diagnosed with stage 4 non-Hodgkin lymphoma. And they, you know, that time of year, April, is the time that appointments come out, and they ended up moving. They were living in Charleston at the time. They moved from Charleston to Spartanburg, but Chris continued to travel back and forth to MUSC for chemo treatments. And for 5 months, Elise stayed right by his side, traveled with him, took him to the doctors, got the chemo, and doctors said that the chemo had an 80% chance of working. Pretty good odds, 80%. It didn't. So they gave him more chemo, they gave him more steroids. In January of 2014, he and Elise picked up. They left their children with grandparents in Spartanburg, and they moved to Charleston for a bone marrow transplant. And so they gave Chris lethal doses of chemo, and then they gave him this bone marrow transplant. And Elise was doing more at that time than it seemed humanly possible, because she was there with him through this horrible time. In fact, it got so bad after they gave him all these massive doses of chemo that he almost died of pneumonia. And here she was trying to take care of Chris and also checking on her three children back in Spartanburg. I have no idea how she managed it. It didn't take long after the bone marrow transplant to realize that it didn't work. And so they did more chemo, and they did another procedure called a donor lymphocyte infusion, and that gave him more time, but his cancer was relentless. In January of this year, Chris was admitted to home hospice. And in that same month, while she was caring for him, Elise's beloved grandmother died. 1 month later, Chris died. This week I called Elise and told her what I was doing today. I told her we're going to be talking about this statement that God won't give us more than we can handle. And I said, so how would you react to that statement? God won't give us more than we can handle. And she's always pretty good about diffusing tough situations with humor. So I asked her that question. She said, "Do I have to answer that without expletives?" I said, "Well, it'll probably be better if I'm going to quote you. We got to clean this up a little bit." And she said a lot of profound things. She said, "I don't believe God caused any of those things to happen. I don't. It was excruciating. I got to the point where I was completely exhausted. I had nothing left. All of my resources, mentally, emotionally, even spiritually, were gone. And in that time, precisely in that time, God proved that His grace was sufficient. In that place where I absolutely could not handle it, I found that I was loved and held by God." See, God doesn't let any suffering go to waste. He didn't cause it, but neither will He let it go to waste. God used that suffering. God uses suffering to bring us closer, to trust Him more, to grow our faith. The Apostle Paul says it like this: "We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had already received the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead." The Word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Well, people say all the time, God won't give you more than you can handle. But I hope that this morning you'll decide to just scratch that from your repertoire of things to say in tough times. I hope you'll scratch it. And instead, I hope you'll replace it with something else. And in fact, this is how I want you to help me this morning. You thought I forgot, didn't you? Here's how I want you to help me. Turn to a couple people around you and deliver this message: God will help you handle whatever life gives you. Can you do that for me? God will help you handle. I think that's far more accurate. God will help you handle whatever life gives you. And all God's people said, amen.